All right. Well, we're going to jump into our teaching this morning, and we're going to wrap something up that we started, I think it was a couple months ago. We've been busy. And how many of you know there's a lot to talk about? There is so much to talk about. We are actually going to be wrapping up the Beatitudes. Everybody's like, whoa, that was like a month ago that since we've talked about those. But we're going to be wrapping up the Beatitudes, and we had made our way all the way through until probably what is my favorite subject, blessed are the persecuted. Everybody say, ooh, fun. That's fun. Blessed are the persecuted. How many of you know Jesus said, blessed are the persecuted? And how many of you know when Jesus says something, we need to take it seriously? In fact, Jesus said that persecution is promised to those who follow him. And so it's important that we talk about these things, how to navigate them, because I think oftentimes many believers will go through their Christian life, and anytime there's any sort of resistance or things aren't going according to plan, we immediately jump to the conclusion, this must not be God's will or his plan for me. But how many of you know there's a real enemy, there's a real adversary that wants to derail you, to take you off course from the things that God has asked you to do, from being the person that he's called you to be. And so we need to know what does persecution look like? What is it? I heard a story. We know that there's real persecution, that the enemy will use people, will use situations to bring persecution, to try to squelch the body of Christ or the church. I heard a story, though, of someone from a pastor. I heard the story of someone who was recently sentenced to 10 years in prison for going to a discipleship group. And they knew that they would be imprisoned, and they did it anyways. And we look at our situation over here in the United States, in our culture, and we can barely get people to come on a Sunday. So there is this level of, you know, when the rubber hits the road, am I truly committed to following him the way that I said I would? It's one thing to follow Jesus when things are easy, right? When things are going well, your bills are paid, right? Your family, you're having fun, your marriage is good. But when things start to get a little dicey, where's God? And we start to blame him, not recognizing that there is a greater work that the Lord wants to do in us in those times. We're going to talk about that. Can we say, blessed are the persecuted? And so we're wrapping up the Beatitudes, and many of you have heard it probably said that this is the greatest sermon that was ever preached. We would absolutely agree. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the foundation of our daily Christian walk, but it's also a glimpse into his heart. How many of you know when Jesus spoke, he only spoke from his heart? Everything that he spoke, it was worked in him before it came out. It's truth. It's eternal. And so when we talk about the Beatitudes, we are getting a glimpse into who he is and his heart. And I want to read Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read through these, and we're going to read the whole thing because it's been a minute. Can we do that? I'll read it to you. You're welcome. I'm an okay reader. Okay, but you can follow along on screen. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 5, and we're going to be here for a minute. Starting at verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him." How many of you know when we follow Jesus, we come to him? We come to Jesus on his terms, not on our terms. Did you know that? Sometimes we like to have Jesus in our back pocket. I'm a Christian, and we only pull him out when we need something. No, but if we're really following him, we come to him. It says, verse 2, "Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds. Everybody say all kinds. When they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I want to reread this last part. This is what we're talking about, verse 10 through 12. The last part says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to notice that in the Beatitudes, there's these two bookends. The Beatitudes start with and end with the same promise, the kingdom of heaven. The first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit is to recognize on the inside that Jesus is the one that I need. It is this humility. It is this humbleness. It is this recognition on the inside that I don't have anything if I don't have Jesus. That he really is my everything. He really is my all in all. And so the Beatitudes start with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you this, and this is so important, and every person here needs to understand this. The entrance into the kingdom of heaven is to be poor in spirit. You cannot have the kingdom of heaven and not have a hunger or a desire for him. In fact, if you do not have a hunger for the Lord, how many of you know he wants to help you with that? If you do not have a hunger for the Lord, or your hunger is waning, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me a hunger for you? If you are not tasting the Lord's goodness, then you are not hungering appropriately. Some of you, I don't know if you guys got that. If you aren't tasting of his goodness, then you're not hungering. Because when you're hungry, he fills you. He feeds his sheep. Every time you come into the Lord's presence, we should taste of his goodness. Every time. It's a condition of, are you hungry or are you not? Let me tell you this. It is not based on, did the worship team sound good? It is not based on how many people are here. It is not based on, is the speaker a good speaker? It is not based on, does the preacher have really good hair? It's not based on any of those things. The level that you receive of him is based on your hunger. If you aren't hungry, say, Jesus, make me hungry for you. We just took communion. We received communion. We didn't take it. We took it. We received it. He gave it freely. He gave his body. He gave his blood. And guess what? When we receive, he made himself available to us that when we taste of his flesh, we consume him, we become one with him. How many of you know his greatest desire is to fill you with himself? Are you hungry? We must hunger for him. The entrance into the kingdom is to be hungry, to be poor in spirit, saying, Jesus, you are all I need. I need to be in your presence, Lord. I'm coming to you because I'm desperate for you. Without you, my life is falling apart. Without you, there's this anxiety in me. There's these things that are wrong with me. But with you, I have all that I need. How many of you know when you give your life to Jesus, we say it that way? I gave my life to Jesus. What does that mean? It means he takes your life. It means that you died to yourself. It means you recognize that the things that used to satisfy, the things that you used to enjoy, they're no longer good for you. They never satisfied. They never hit the mark because only he hits the mark. Are you guys seeing what I'm saying? The way into the kingdom is to be poor in spirit. It is to be hungry. Everybody say, be hungry. This is why Jesus says, woe to you if you think you're rich. Jesus wasn't talking about wealth. He was saying, woe to you if you think you don't need me. How much suffering you will go through unnecessarily if you think you don't need me. It's why Jesus said, he said, if you think the darkness is in you is really light, how great is that darkness? In other words, you might think you're illuminated. You might think you have God, but you don't have God. You have yourself. And what kind of bondage is that? It would be like going to a doctor and you are sick. There is a medical condition you have, and the doctor says, you need this treatment, but you don't believe it, and so you don't receive the treatment. How many of you know we must receive his treatment? Amen. Now, I want to talk about the other bookend. The first bookend is being poor in spirit. It is the promise is the kingdom of heaven. The other bookend of the Beatitudes is blessed are the persecuted, and it's the same promise. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I would say to you, and I would like to submit to you, that hunger for Jesus and persecution are directly related. The more you hunger for Jesus, the more you will be filled with him. The more you're filled with him, the more you will see his kingdom in your life. That's a good thing. Amen. The more his kingdom is in your life, the more persecution you will face. And the more persecution you face, the more of his kingdom you inherit. You know, we think that persecution is a bad thing. We're going to talk about it. I don't know about you, but I don't like to go through pain. I don't like to be uncomfortable. But the reality is for those who follow him, it should be an evidence in our daily life. It's tough. You see, we must learn how to beat the enemy at his own game. To be persecuted, the word persecuted means to make run, to cause to flee, to put someone to flight. Bless you. To put someone to flight. To drive away. Persecution means to run swiftly after another, to pursue in a hostile manner, to harass, to trouble, to mistreat, or to acquire another. In other words, basically what persecution is, it is the when the enemy and people, it's not people, the enemy will use people, but the enemy will try to make you the goal of destruction. How many of you know that the word says the enemy does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy? The devil does not want to play games with you. He wants to kill you. I'm going to say that again because sometimes we, you know, people like to dabble in certain things. We like to explore these dark things. We like to watch dark things. We like to play dark games. Listen. There is a spirit behind that. It is not the spirit of God. And what does the devil come to do? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. We do not need to give the devil the time of day. Didn't we just sing, he's overcome? He's been given the name above every name. That if Jesus is in you, greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world. You do not need to give him your attention, okay? He does not need your time. He does not need your thoughts. Because if you give them to him, you are allowing him to build a fortress or a foundation in your mind, right? That's why scripture says that the word of God, in fact, I have it here. Hold on. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Though we walk in the flesh, everybody hold out your hand. Hold it up. Look at it. Is this flesh right here? Is this natural? You can see it. You can feel it. Right, you can smell it. I'm not going to smell my hand, but you know, you can smell it if you want, right? You can do these things. You can, all these things. There's the flesh. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Listen, our flesh is not with flesh. Our flesh is not with people. Our spiritual fight is not with a political party. It is not with people in your school. It is not with people that you work with. Our fight is in the spirit. It says, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, meaning they're not fleshly, but they are mighty in God for what? For pulling down strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. Let me tell you this. When we allow the enemy to play games in our mind, to speak lies in our mind, this is so important, and we just leave them there, they are like building blocks of a fortress of the enemy that will be designed to take you out. How many of you know you don't need to leave the lies in your heart and in your mind? We need to fight. We need to fight. And the way that we do this, and Pastor Susie talked about this last week so wonderfully, the way that we fight is with the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. When you get saved and you give your life to Jesus, what do we tell you to do? What's one of the things we tell you to do? Read your Bible every day. Do we do that because it's a religious duty? Or is there possibly something greater that God wants to do in you to help you see the day that when the day comes, you will be with Him? Okay? The reason we read our Bible every day is this. His word is life, and His word is a weapon. His word is truth. Anything that is outside of His word that is not, so every thought, everything that we think, if it does not line up with Scripture, then we can assume it's not true, and it is the enemy that is bringing those thoughts into our mind. Okay? And so when we are hearing things like, let me give you some examples of how we use Scripture, okay? To fight our battles. If when you have a history of a family sickness, okay? Maybe people have said to you, you're probably going to get this sickness. When you get older, you're probably just going to have it like everybody else in our family. You can let that sit in your mind. You can let that fear take root in your heart. And then all of a sudden you start seeing like little evidences and you start reinforcing it with your mouth. Or we can use what God says. And we can use His word to fight that battle. And we can say, no, His word says, by His stripes, I am healed. That's a promise He gave to me. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And then we can break down those lies in our minds with the truth of His scripture. Are you guys with me? If you need peace, let's say you need peace, okay? There was some scary things that happened in our community. And there's a lot of anxiety in our schools right now because of things that have taken place. And maybe that brings some nervousness, some anxiety, some fear. It's important that we know what Scripture says because Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, are you with me? The more Scripture that we know, the better we know how to fight. The better we know how to combat the enemy. Now, let me give you some hope here, because maybe you haven't been in the Word a whole lot. Let me tell you, the more of the Word you have, the better your equipment. Okay? When David fought Goliath, he chose smooth stones, right? He chose the right rocks for the right battle. The more rocks that you have, the more victory you can experience in these battles because you have the appropriate equipment, okay? But listen, they were smooth rocks. Sometimes we try to use Scripture, but it's not really in our heart. And because it's not in our heart, it's not smooth. And so even though we're using the words, it's not very effective because it hasn't been smoothed over by the weathering of life. I'll give you an example of this. If you were sick in your body and you were praying, by His stripes I'm healed. You were praying healing scriptures, right? And you were praying and you were believing and maybe your condition was getting worse. Maybe the pain was getting worse. But you were praying and believing. You were staying in faith. And then one day there was victory in your life and all of a sudden there was healing in your body. Praise God. Let me tell you this. When you go and pray for sick people, how many of you know those stones are a little smoother? Because you went through it. You experienced it. Listen, when you experience God in your life, that truth becomes greater to you. Okay? Are we all here? So we need to know how to fight. We don't want to just let the thoughts build up in our mind, but we need to allow God to speak his truth, to use those words to fight when persecution comes. All right. So when does the enemy attack most? When do we face the most persecution? You will mostly face the most persecution when you're doing the things God has asked you to do. That's why if you've ever done a fast, okay? Let's say you're like, I just need more of God, and I'm just going to fast and not, you know, I'm not going to eat for a couple days, and I'm just going to spend that time to be with the Lord, okay? And you start fasting. It's so interesting, and I've done many fasts. It's so interesting how when I start fasting, things happen. All of a sudden, the car breaks down, right? The car breaks down, right? My kids need some help. I all of a sudden, there was unexpected expenses, and now I'm not sure how I'm going to, you know, pay all the bills, right? Things happen. That is a sign of resistance. Everybody say resistance. When you do the things that God has asked you to do, that is a primary time where you will face a level of persecution. That could be from other people. It could be from situations. It could be attacks of the enemy. It could be lies. It could be people that are close to you speaking things over you, okay? And so oftentimes when we're doing what God has asked us to do, that can be an opportunity for us either, number one, to jump ship and quit, because how many of you know that's what the enemy wants you to do? He wants you to stop fasting. Or your renewed mind can recognize, wait a minute, I think I'm making somebody angry. I'm going to add an extra day. Do you see? You see, how you approach it determines the outcome. When perseverance comes, do you quit or do you press in all the more? Listen to how Jesus was tempted. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Listen to this. Look at this first verse. Look. Jesus was led by who? The Holy Spirit. That's a capital S. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to what? To be tempted by who? Now, why would God do that? Come on, man. Like, help us. What? Life is hard enough. How are we going to go through temptation? How many of you know there is a great promise when we overcome temptation? Amen? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Verse 3 says, now. Everybody say now. Now when the tempter came to him. When did the tempter come? When he was led by the Spirit and he was doing what the Father had prepared for him to do. How many of you know there is a real enemy in this world whose sole objective is to get you off course in your walk with the Lord, to get you out of the purposes, out of the plans that he has for your life? The question is when that time comes, he'll use family to do it, he'll use people to do it, he'll use friends to do it, he'll use lack, fear, he'll use all these things to do it. The question is how will you walk it out? If you can walk it out faithfully, there is a great reward on the other side. It says, so the devil comes to Jesus with temptation. He tempts him. Jesus fights. He shows us how to fight. He uses the word, just like we talked about. Right? It says the devil said, and then it says Jesus said. And then it says the devil said, and then Jesus said. And then it says the devil said, then Jesus said, and then the devil left. You want the devil out of your life? Speak the truth. Do the right things. Do the things that God has asked you to do. Because it says this in Luke 4:13, it says the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Let me ask you, when is an opportune time for the enemy to bring persecution to your life? Oftentimes it's after a victory. When you get the answer to your prayer. When you were praying and believing and all of a sudden God answered that prayer, the temptation is, I don't need to pray anymore. which really reveals in our heart that we just wanted the answered prayer more than we wanted Jesus. Oftentimes, persecution comes after a victory, but why does a persecution come? And this is what I wanted to get to. This is what we're going to end with. Why does persecution come to believers? Now, does persecution come to other people? Let me ask you this quick. Are there people in the world being persecuted? Are there unbelievers that do not walk with Jesus? Are there people being persecuted? The kingdom of darkness is wicked. It attacks its own. Didn't we just say the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy? That includes like. Okay? But there's a promise for those who are in Christ who are persecuted, who continue to walk faithfully. There's a promise. The reason persecution comes is, number one, because of his name. Write that down. Everybody say, because of his name. Say it again like we mean it. Persecution comes because of his name. As soon as you give your life to the Lord, persecution comes. It doesn't mean that when you gave your life to Jesus or you made a decision. We just had baptisms, right? We just had baptisms a couple weeks ago. When there's baptisms, when decisions like that are oftentimes made, as soon as they go home, there's a fight with a spouse. There's a fight with an argument. There's this persecution. There's this resistance to get you off of your faith from continuing to go any further. When you make a decision or you give your life to the Lord, persecution comes. It doesn't mean you should leave the faith. It means you should double down in your faith. It might just be evidence that you're actually born again. If you are facing persecution or there's resistance from the enemy in your life, that's evidence that you're doing the right things. Persecution comes because you belong to him. I want to look at verse 10 and 11 of Matthew 5 again. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. Notice, for my sake. Persecution comes, why? For his sake. For his sake. Because you belong to Jesus. You mean that I don't have to do anything wrong and I'm still going to be persecuted? Yep. You mean I can't just be nice to everybody and get along with everybody and not be persecuted? Nope. You mean I can't, you know, can the enemy cause people to persecute me? Yep. But I didn't do anything wrong. Exactly. It's for his name's sake. It's because, listen to this, and I want everybody to hear this. It's because his name is attached to you. His banner of love is over you. His glory and his presence is on your life. And he is not embarrassed in all of your shortcomings, in all of your weaknesses, in all of your insecurities, in all of your downfalls. He is not embarrassed to attach his name to you. Come on, that's pretty. He's not embarrassed by you. He died for you. And he's put his name on you. You belong to him. And so when we say hunger and persecution are very closely, it is so true. Number two, his word will attract persecution. Everybody say his word. Have you ever noticed that you go to church and same thing, you go home, you receive the word, you're encouraged, you're built up, you're edified, you're so on fire. You're like, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Like, I am secure in my standing with him, right? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, right? All these things, when we receive his word, persecution often follows. You go home, bad news. You're in the presence of God, you walk out those doors, and all of a sudden you get that phone call. Do you think that's coincidence? Or do you think there's something bigger at play? Listen to Matthew 13, 18, what Jesus says. He says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word. Everybody say, hears the word. Receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, notice, because of the word, he stumbles. You see, once you receive the word of God, listen, when you receive the word of God, you are signing up for persecution. There is a moment because the Lord's ways are at enmity with the world. Okay? My dad and I, we have gone on some trips, on some canoeing and camping trips, and there's these specific spots in these lakes, in these chain of lakes that we like to go to. And wouldn't you know that the most beautiful places with the best fishing are the hardest to get to, right? Like, it's like guaranteed. You have to row upstream, upriver. You have to go carry the canoe. You have to do all these portages just to get to your favorite spots. And I will tell you this, if you have given your life to Jesus, you must know that you are going against the grain of the world. You don't get to live like everybody else. Decisions that you make will be different than the decisions of this world. Right? There will be things that God asks of you that makes no sense to this world system, to the world culture. And so when you give your life to the Lord, it is different. And let me give you, for instance, if you have a dollar left to your name, you have $1, how many of you know the Lord has every right to ask you for that dollar? I want you to give that dollar to the poor. Now, the world would say, no, that's all you got left. You can't give that up. What are you going to do? You see, the Lord will say, give it and you'll receive. The world says, no, you got to hold on to it because you don't know what's going to happen. Right? Someone slaps you on the cheek. What does the world say? Slap them back harder. But what does the Lord say? Turn the other cheek. Right? The world says you have to make a name for yourself. If you don't do it, who will, right? You got to get yourself the highest status. But what does Jesus say? The least are the greatest in the kingdom. So God's ways are not the same as the world's ways. The systems do not line up. So when you receive the word, you are signing up for persecution because you are going against the grain. And so the moment you receive the word, persecution begins, number one, to push you off your post, to get you off of what God has called you to do. Let me tell you this, do not ever leave the call of God on your life. Do not ever allow yourself to get pushed off the post. Do not quit. Do not stop, right? Endure. If you're being persecuted for praying for the sick, pray for more sick people. If you are being persecuted for a move of the Spirit in your life, pray for more move of the Spirit. If you're getting persecuted for sharing with other people about your faith, don't stop, share more. Are you guys seeing this? Blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So persecution is guaranteed, number one, because of his name, number two, because of his word. Remember what Jesus said in John 15:20. He says, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. Is Jesus our master? If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep your word also. Jesus is like, don't worry, there's some good news here. There's going to be some people who you're going to preach the good news to, and they're going to receive it. Somebody say amen. But there's going to be times where you're sharing about me and it's going to bring persecution. Jesus is saying, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Another reason persecution comes is number three, because of his presence on you. Because of his presence on you. We're going to close with this. 1 Peter 4 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake. Everybody say rejoice. How? Rejoice to the extent that you partake of whose sufferings? Christ. When you are in love with someone, when my wife and I were early dating, we were engaged, I wanted to hug her so tight that I just wanted to be like, just be like, and just become one, right? Like, I just wanted to be like all of this is all one, right? How many of you know that's what Jesus wants to do in you? Jesus's ultimate goal for your life is to make you like him, to fill you with himself to the point where you are like him. And how many of you know if Jesus was persecuted? I was talking to a pastor and I was like, and how do you deal with all this? Like people are like saying some nasty stuff about you. And he looked at me and he said, oh, you know, I recognized pretty early on that I need that to happen to become more like him. Do you know how hard it is to get to that point? Where you're willing to endure people talking about you, speaking bad things about you, hurting you, enduring pain, disappointment, and you rejoice at it because why? Because it makes me more like him. Because he went through all of those things. Because he endured all those things. What did scripture say? That I might know him and him crucified? He's saying that I would even be willing to give my life on a cross like him. It would be such an honor. Are we that in love with him? Do we want to really be one with him? When the disciples asked Jesus for a place in their kingdom, do you guys remember that? And Jesus was like, you do not know what you asked for. He said, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? He's saying this. He's saying the only way to be there is to go through what I'm about to go through. Blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I got off course. Persecution comes because his presence is on you. Let me finish this verse. Rejoice, verse 13, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that his glory is revealed. You may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Why? For the Spirit of God rests upon you. You will be persecuted when his tangible glory is on your life. When people, there's times, listen, I've walked downtown, and I remember once I was walking downtown, and I just waved at somebody, and somebody walking by said, oh, Jesus fingers. I'm like, what are you talking about, right? There's a spirit there. There's times where I'll walk into a room, and there's people that will greet me, and there's people that will scowl at me that I've never even met, and I know for a fact it's because Jesus is on me. When you carry his spirit, when you carry his presence, there's a war. And you will go places, and you will go into dark places, and there's a fight there. Keep going. It says, on their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. In other words, Peter's saying, listen, don't steal, and then when you're arrested, call it persecution. That was being dumb, right? That's sowing and reaping. You sowed stupidity, you're reaping stupidity, right? Don't call it persecution if you're mean to someone in the name of the Lord and they stop talking to you, right? You're not walking in love, okay? Don't call it persecution if you don't pay your taxes and the IRS comes knocking on your door. Sowing and reaping, right? These aren't persecution. Persecution is when you're following Jesus, you're bringing glory to him, and resistance starts to happen in order to derail you. And so here is what I believe our prayer should be. What do we do with this? Do we pray, Lord, bring persecution? No. But when you're walking with him, it comes. And you got to know that, and you got to be ready for it. You guys with me? And so when it comes, we need to know how to walk through. We need to recognize what it is. We need to fight the fight. And we don't fight in the flesh. We don't fight just by trying harder. We run to the Lord. Doesn't it say the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it? How many of you know he is our refuge and our fortress? Let me say this. Before you start fighting, a refuge is a safe place. It's where children run to hide. A fortress is where battles are fought and won. Psalm 91 says he is our refuge and our fortress. How many of you know he must first be our refuge before he can be a fortress in your life? So many people try to fight spiritual battles, but they don't know the love of God. Is he your safe place? If we're just throwing stones out there, we're probably missing. We have to have that foundation of he is our refuge and he is our fortress. Amen? But this is why we take joy when persecution comes. It's not because we enjoy getting hurt. It's not because we enjoy people mistreating us. No. The reason we take joy is because we recognize, number one, I thought the Lord asked me to do this, and I think I'm on the right track. But number two, when persecution comes, he is working something in me to be greater than who I was before, to have more authority, to step into something greater, into greater promise, into greater authority, into greater things. His number one goal is to make us more like him. And we must realize a servant is not greater than his master. And when persecution comes, you realize the reason it comes and the reason God will even allow persecution in your life is because he wants to make you more like Jesus. Somebody say amen. And so I can turn the other cheek. Why? Because when I do, I become more like him. I can give my last dollar to the poor. Why? Because when I do, I become more like him. I can pray for the sick when people are mocking me. Why? Because when I do, I become more like him. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I wanted to close our time, and we're all wrapped up. But I wanted to close our time for those of you that don't know that there was some there was an active shooter in our local schools recently last week. And we hear about that on the news often, right? But it's a little different when it's in your backyard. You know what I mean? And with that, oftentimes comes things that are not from the Lord. Fear, anxiety, right? Stress. Am I safe? How do I navigate this? Questions, why did God allow this? Okay. And we can talk about those things, but what I would like to do and what I would like us as a church to do before, right as we leave, and Zach, if you can come out and you can start playing while we're doing this. But what I would like to do is I would like to actually just have a time of prayer over our young people. And if we can pray over anybody that's under the age of 18, honestly, anybody that's in schools, what I would like to do is I would like to have you guys, if you guys could just come up here, and we're just going to have some people lay hands on you, and I'm going to invite everybody to stand. So can we all stand together? But if you are in middle school, elementary school, high school, can you guys just come right up here, right by Pastor Susie? And we're really spread out up here, all the church. Church, can we all kind of just, your stuff is safe, but can we all just kind of come closer to the front? And we're just going to extend our hands and pray over them as we worship. Pastor Larry, can you come up and pray, please? Kelsey, can you come up and pray and lay hands on them? Yep, thank you for coming up here, buddy. Thanks for coming up here. You guys can even come closer, honestly. Let's just come a little closer, but can we just all be, let's be the church. Let's extend our hands to them. And we're going to just worship. And I just want you guys to start declaring the word of God over them. Just go one by one, start praying Psalm 91, pray scripture over them. We're doing what we're doing. Can you guys look at me real quick? We are just gonna do and kind of model a little bit everything we just talked about. Okay, the way that we fight is not by trying harder, because we can't do it. We mess it up. The way that we fight is by speaking God's word over you, because his word is power, and Jesus modeled that. That when we use scripture as our weapon in faith, the devil flees. And so they're gonna pray protection over you. We're gonna pray the blood of Jesus over you. We're gonna pray Psalm 91 over you guys, okay? We're gonna start doing that as we worship. So church, can you extend your hands? And if you can begin praying in the spirit. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these young people. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have called them. We thank you, Lord, that you have set them apart. And you guys can be praying over each one of them individually. We thank that you have set them apart. And Lord, that your name is on them. Lord, that there is a mighty work that you have begun in them. Lord, that there is a fire in their hearts that you have put in them. Lord, that there is a fire in their mouth, Lord, that you have anointed them with. Lord, that there is a work, a real work that you are doing in them. And Lord, the enemy would come to try to cause doubt, would try to bring fear. But Lord, we say in the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every other name, fear, anxiety, despair, depression, must bow at the name of Jesus. And so Lord, we pray protection over them right now. Lord, we pray the blood of Jesus over them right now. Lord, that they are protected in their coming and in their going because you are with them. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you will never leave them or forsake them, but Lord, that you are always there. And so, Lord, we lay hands on them, Lord, to partner in agreement with what you want to see happen in their lives. Lord, that when difficult things come, when they have to go against the grain, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would fill them with your spirit, Lord, to walk worthy and to do the things that you called them to do. Let nothing be snatched up in Jesus' name. Let nothing be stolen in Jesus' name from them. Lord, we thank you for the work that you are doing in this generation. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the fire in the heart, Lord, that you've given them, Lord, that it is real. Lord, that you are calling them by name. Lord, I pray that you would give them dreams in Jesus' name, that you would give them visions, Lord, of your goodness, of the plan that you have for their life. And Lord, that you would use them for your glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you just pray then?
Well, Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for the boldness and confidence that they would continue to rise up in. Lord, as things begin to move, Lord, that they would be like Peter, who would say, would you call me out in the middle of the storm, in the midst of what's happening around, Lord, and that they would be people like Peter who would take the next step. But Lord, instead of them getting so caught up by distractions, Lord, I thank you, God, that they would continue to walk closer to you. Lord, I thank you, God, that they all have eyes to see and ears to hear you speak. Lord, I thank you, God, that you know each one of them by name. Lord, that none of them are an accident, that even if those are a lie that has been spoken in joking, like, oh, well, we didn't mean to. Lord, that I just come against that lie, that each one of them are not an accident, that they were created with intention and purpose for this time. In this time where darkness seems to be creeping in, God, that you've called each one of them by name for this time, that they would be people who would rise up in your boldness, they would rise up in confidence, that they would be people who would speak truth in love. God, I pray that you would continue to strengthen them with friendships, Lord, with people who are pursuing you. Lord Jesus, that you would surround them with the right people that would uplift them, that would encourage them. God, we thank you that you have set this time. It says in scripture that you formed them for these days, God, that it was not on accident. So Lord, I pray that when they feel fear creeping in, stand, when they begin to maybe hear the voice of the enemy, Lord, that they would say, but my God will never forsake me. Lord, that you have been true. Your word will not return void. It will go out to do the very thing that you've set it to do in each one of their lives. Lord, I thank you that we stand with them. Lord, I thank you that they are not alone. God, I pray that they would be a generation who would know how to ask for help, who would call out and say, I am afraid, and we would be a church who would partner with them in prayer, who would speak life, who would encourage them. But Lord, God, I pray that these students would go further than we could ever imagine, that they would bring many to the kingdom of God, that Lord, as storms are circling around them, that they would rise up even if their voices are trembling and say, can I pray for you? And God, that they would pray with faith, not with great and mighty words, but Lord, with the faith of a child. Lord, it says that faith is a mustard seed, that there would bear much fruit. Lord, it says that you want us to have childlike faith. And so God, I thank you've equipped them already for this time. Lord, I pray that there would be an awakening to that in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you go before them, that you are both there. You go before, but you're also their rear guard. God, we look to you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you've entrusted these children into this place, into this house, Lord. And we are committed to continue to steward and pray and lift them in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
And I thank you, Lord, that you have an air force, the angelic realm, to be protecting them, to be there for them, to be standing by them, whether they are invisible or you can make them visible to enemy forces. We thank you that they have an angelic realm that you have promised. You said that they are there for the heirs of salvation. And so we expect, we know that your word is faithful. We know that your word is faithful. They are ministering spirits, and we release them over these young people. We release them over the schools. We release them to be mighty in God, to be mighty. And for the students and for children, wherever they may go, that there would be a sense of we are protected in a mighty way, and to expect it, to have that belief, and that you will just show yourself mighty, that this whole school system will just become a school system where people are like, wow, it just seems like we have a calm here, but we release those angels. That is, I believe, your word for them, to release those angels for each and every one of these young people to know that they are in place, they're there, and they can count on those angelic realm to be their front and rear guard day and night in Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit for each one of us, Lord God, that they will hear his voice morning, noon, and night and recognize it, and then other voices they will know and discard them, Lord God, that no unrighteousness can come near them because they know the difference. Fill them every morning afresh, Lord God, overflowing everyone that's around them, that your holiness, that your righteousness would prevail in their lives, prevail in their homes, prevail in their schools, in their communities, would rise up for you, Lord, all because your youth have been called and they hear you and they call you by name. In Jesus' mighty, holy, precious name, thank you for all that they are meaning to you and all that you're yet to reveal to all of us in them and through them, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us, Lord, that even in the face of difficulty, Lord, you lift us up by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is upon these young ones, but Lord, upon each one of us, Lord, we just invite a fresh filling in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that as we go out, Lord, let us declare your goodness. Let us declare who you are. Lord, let your Spirit be upon us, that all would know for your glory. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Well, you guys can be seated. You're dismissed. I should say you're dismissed, but if you need prayer, we're going to have our team up here. If you would like prayer, you can also come up and we'll pray over you as well. Otherwise, you are dismissed. We love you guys. God bless you.